Praise God. Thank you, Praise Team. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't it awesome to be in His presence and to get that reaffirmation that we belong to Him? Despite of what we think about ourselves, He has claimed us. I was that we've been sealed with His Holy Spirit. We're marked. We belong to Him. I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank You for the awesome privilege of being called Your sons. We're not servants. We're not beneath, but You have crowned us with glory and honor. And despite the things we do, regardless of what we do, but only because of Your great love with which You love us, have You made us Your own. We appreciate that, Father. We appreciate You. We extend our gratitude as we honor You by being here and opening up our heart to receive of Your truth. We thank You for that. Amen. Praise God. We want to thank those of you who are joining us online to receive God's word of truth. And all of you who are here, I want to say, first and foremost, that I am Pastor Jim Lillard. And if you are seeing a short black man, you need to run up to the front right now because darkness has overtaken you. Right? Nah, praise God. I'm one of the sons. You may discern some things that are similar in spirit, but that's because of the spirit of the deep within him has ministered to the deep within all of us. And the truth is good, right? And the truth remains today. We will be talking about becoming new, all right? Becoming new. So that's the focus of our topic today. You may notice that as far as being born again. I just want to deal with that, shed some light on that so that we can take from the truth that is revealed in the scriptures about being born again and go beyond Sunday morning, Wednesday evening assembly, whatever, and win throughout the week. Amen. Because that's the purpose. God continually leads us in success. Then that means that we need to be experienced success. Amen. All right. The scripture that we're not going to go to basing that on is that we are a new creation. Y'all know that. Say the last part with me. Old things have passed away. And all things have. All right. We're a new creation. Old things have passed away. And all things have. All right, that's the scripture and that's the truth. Now, where we live is, God dang it, I'm supposed to be new. Why is this old thing hanging on, right? There's a frustration. If I'm trying to do something that I know I have the ability to do or think I should have the ability to do it and I'm not doing it, that can lead to some frustration. And Paul said like this, that, man, I agree with doing the right thing, yet I see myself continually to do the wrong thing. That's not a success for winning, right? That's not a recipe for experiencing what God has for you, right? If you know that you shouldn't be doing something and you're still doing it, then when you come in here on Sunday or Wednesday and you go see Pastor Jim and you see Pastor Jim coming, like, sit down quickly. Right, because you don't want that man looking in your eyes. He knows stuff. That's not how you're supposed to be, though, right? Because the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. You shouldn't go into God's presence and think, well, I can't go there because of what I did. All right, so you got to understand the becoming new process. So let's break that down a little bit, see what God sees so we can apply that to deal with some things, all right? So you are a new creation, first point. All right, we'll go Genesis 2:7. I'm not going to stay there. I just want to point out something that you probably saw, and then just let it go. The first part deals with creation. Second part deals with creation, but then gets to you. But Genesis 2:7, God's created everything. He's created the garden. He gets to man and says, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. All right. Like the first part, God formed man from the dust of the ground. You know why? Because then science then comes and backs that up. Because our bodies, if you look at them chemically and things like that is just dirt. You're going to talk to Suzanne. She can break that down, right? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That's the dirt part. Now, sometimes because, you know, we get into these weird terminologies and we go, well, you know, I'm only human. Remember that song that Pastor sings? I think it's a country song. I'm not country, so I can't do it. I'd have to rap that. I'm only human. What? Yes. Well, I don't think they sung it that way. But we think of ourselves that, well, I'm just now, I can't do it the way God did it. But notice the word here, it's always been here. Oh, man, my word is falling apart. My life is about to become in pieces. Hold that for me. Please, thank you. Got corrected by that. Now, I had a story about her, too. No, I won't share it. Anyway, back to where. Notice that the word does not say that God formed, or if you read it, he did not form us out of the dust of the ground. It's not what it says. The body was formed, fashioned, shaped. You were created. It said he breathed into his nostrils, and then he became, not while he was there in clay form, not while he was there in clay form, he became living when God breathed into him the breath of life. Said when they were in the upper room, said they heard a sound. There's a flame of fire, but they heard a sound like a rushing mighty. God formed everything. He formed the ground. He formed the trees. He formed the birds. But when he decided to deal with you, he said, I'm going to take from myself and make this be. You're made of the same stuff that God is made of. That's point one. New creation. Why? Because you missed that. The angel came to Mary. This is what's going to happen. She said, be it unto me according to your word. And it says, oh, the power of God overshadowed her. And Christ was formed. Well, formed, but whew. You're walking around living life absent of the knowledge of God. All of a sudden, light hits you. Bam. You believe in your heart. If you confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, then the power of God overshadows you. He breathes into you the breath of life, and then you become a living being. Then, at that point, same thing that happened in Genesis. The same thing that happened when the power of God overpowers. The same, he's the first of many brethren. You're created in the same way. I want to drive that point home before we go forward, because you say, well, I'm the same. No, you're in the same body. But you are indeed new. I'm made of the same stuff of the Creator King of this universe. And then Christ looks at you and simply says, well, all things are possible for you that believe. Why? Because the stuff that you're made of, nothing is impossible for me. Well, that means nothing's impossible for you. You're different. He said, but there's some things that I just haven't been able to get accomplished. No, that was before. That was before the new creation happened. Now, nothing's impossible for you. That's important when we get to some of the things later on. So you're new. I don't look new. That's okay. But you are new. You are new. First point. Reason why that's important under this, you're a new creation. That's important because from this point, things change for you and how you live. If you were here with us Wednesday, you'll have to go back and watch. Can't go back through that. But one of the things I said was life happens from the inside out. All right. I just want to point out the things that are there for you when you study the scriptures. It's said, this said different ways. But it's always said in the scripture. It's pointed out. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Showing in the scriptures, it's the same thing. I obviously can't go through all of them, but this is one of them. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Get to it. I'm spinning with one hand. Paul's teaching. He's going to get to the part. I said, all right, you guys, you're different people. Watch what Paul says. I'm going to read verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. See, if I can stop right there, I could preach a good Baptist message. Because I'm going to hit that. You are a bunch of dirty sinners. Come to this offering and give me your money. All right. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked. Watch that. He slipped that in there real quick. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Now he said, you used to live that way when you lived according to the course of this world. Same principle, you live from the inside out. Now remember Wednesday, go through it, right? You're a spirit, soul, body. Before God, you're just soul, body, and you live your life based upon the things that you experience, right? Okay? If I had a bad experience with McDonald's, then for the rest of my life, my kids and their kids will never go to McDonald's. That's an outside-in experience. Bring it more in the home. If I had a traumatic experience in my childhood, let's say with my father, it shapes how I view men going forward. Does that make sense? Because I had that, but that, again, that's an outside experience that affected me deeply on the inside, all right? And because it affected me deeply on the inside, let me see if I can get to that point, it now shapes the way that my decision-making goes. It shapes the way that I choose my friends and my associations, all right? It affects the way that I view myself, right? Because... And go back in the second. It's coming later, but to go back in the Second Corinthians 10 said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And those, another translation, if you get another one, are arguments, strongholds. Scott pointed out those are imaginations that are locked in on the inside. Those are visual images on within you again that shape how you view yourself. I call that the self-concept, self-perception. If you go counseling, they deal with that. How do you see yourself? You know, mirror from me. What, you know. But how you see yourself in the inside affects what you take in from the outside. And even if you have a positive experiencing being thrown your way, if you have a negative perception on yourself on the inside, you will still view that negatively. All right? Let me bring this example out so I can get to the, again, lay out the inside out and then move from that, all right? let's say, you know, hey, I'm the Shaw steward. That's something we like to eat. You know, now let's say I had a bad self-perception about my body, which I don't. I still eat well, or not as well as I should. But that's I'm eating this stuff, and I'm going to tie it in. All right, let's say I had a bad experience in my childhood, and my parent berated me. Again, affecting my self-concept, my self-image. I mean, you would never be anything. You're not good for anything. Or, you know, just constant, why can't you get this right? Why can't you get this right? Probably based upon things that have happened in their life. And in order for me to deal with that constant berating, what I did is I turned to something that made me, that helped me deal with that abuse that I was dealing with. And the thing that I turned to was food. All right, so obviously if I'm getting that, then I'm developing. When I want to feel good, when I want to feel comfortable, the thing that makes me comfortable is to consume food. Probably beyond what I should be consuming, and I'm not exercising. So then my physical begins to resemble that, reflect that. And so now I go out into the world where they start telling me about images, especially if I'm a woman and I'm looking in the magazines. I can get this when I talk to my wife. I'm looking in the magazines, and all the magazine pictures I see are women that are skinny. Now, men look at that, or you don't look at that because you got a beautiful wife and you're not looking at those pictures. But other men, they look at that and say, oh, you know, that's a nice, beautiful woman. And then my wife said, well, women look at that and say, well, this is how you want me to look. Now I tell her, no, I want you to look the way you look. That's, you know, that's why I married you. No, this is how you want me to look. And when you look at those images in those magazines, or you see those actresses in those movies, you're looking at that. That's how I'm supposed to look for my husband, my boyfriend, but I don't look like that. Now you can look at that and say, well, they're just not casting the right person. If you're positive image of you is, man, I'm a beautiful woman. I'm plus. That means there's more of me to love, right? But if you're looking at that and you're you're not confident in your self-image because you were that developed when you were being abused. You look at that and say, oh, I can't look like that. But you don't leave it there. You don't just say, I can't look like that. You say, I can't look like that, and he can't love me. Now, your husband may very well say, hey, look, I love you. I love you. I love you. You know I love you. Look at this $2 candy bar that I just bought for you. You know I don't spend $2 on a candy bar. I love you. Nah. You, what you're going to say is, you spent $2 to give me a candy bar because you're trying to help me be fat. Right? Now, he's trying to do something positive because Valentine's Day tells him you need to do something. But he said, nah, you attacking me, making me, and then, you know, that I'm, well, and you leave the house mad. Mom, God, where you going? I'm going to Chucho's to go eat some more to make me feel good. You know, but just, I'm saying that because of the image on the inside, even when positive things are around you, you can't receive that. You can't be successful in the Lord, not because of the Lord or what he's provided, but because of the inward constructs that are built within you. Now, here's where the argument part comes in, because when you become a new creation on the inside of the spirit, your direction, that's outward focus. The course of my life is being directed by the things that happen on the outside, and they're telling me how I should proceed in the course of life. Then that's how I direct my steps. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by inside out, right? Before, I'm drawing in from the outside things that happen to me, I internalize them, and then that's why they're hard to spot, because when I try to change my behavior, my actions, that's the robot stuff. Okay, I'm saved, now I'm going to do different things. Now I'm doing robot stuff. Oh, I'm going to diet. And I start, that's robot. I'm trying to control things. I'm still dealing with the outside stuff. And then I get mad when I start returning back to old patterns and behaviors. Right? I'm trying to go this way, but I keep doing this. I'm taking steps here, but I keep getting dragged back. That's because the processes on the inside are fighting the things that you're trying to do from the outside. You see what I'm saying? You're doing the things that are necessary, but your inward processes are arguing against the things that are trying to help you. See, but the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. Now, I'm not saying dieting is bad. That's a carnal thing. You need some discipline, but that's a carnal thing. You're trying to handle an inward issue with a carnal, a man-made construct. What you need to do is deal with things that deal with you on the inside. And that God said, God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between joint and marrow on the inside. But watch this. You're not going to get there. If I come here and I listen to Pastor Jim, that's my end. Why? Because he's speaking spiritual words. And the truth of God is going to write in on those spiritual words to deal with me on the inside. But if I'm just coming to church because I got to go do something, now I'm still dealing with outside stuff. And then I'm mad at him or his family because I've been coming here for 30 years and ain't nothing changed. But that's the problem. You've been coming here for 30 years, never ever tapping into the thing that's within you. He's here to open up the things that's within you, not put them in. You understand what I'm saying? The truth is here. So now, so what happens is you may hear the truth, but on the inside you say, oh, I can't believe that. I'm not listening to that. Or you reject it completely. Why don't Jesus continue to say, let he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Why? And that's inside. He said, unless he had to heal them, they had ears. But what is he saying? You might not be prepared inwardly to deal with the things that I'm dealing with you. Look, get it right. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen. You know, why did you tell your husband that? You're talking, and he like, look, listen to me. All right, because we know how to do that. It's like, I'm watching the game. God's speaking to you because the things that God's saying deals with those strongholds, those mental images that have to be torn down so that you can successfully move forward. Right? I'm mad at her. She says something. Man, you she ain't treating me right. I don't tell her, though. I'm going to send Pastor a text. I'm mad at her. And I go to God, man, you know, this woman that you gave me, just like Adam. This woman that you gave me, he said, man, she's not the problem, you are.
here's what you need to, you know, he's dealing with me. And then my direction, not because I'm angry on the outside with something that she may have did and how I perceived it, which how I perceived it is probably the real issue. God says, okay, I need to deal with this part in you right now, because that's all you're going to let me deal with. I need to deal with that. You know where that comes from? That comes from the steps of a righteous man ordered by the Lord. That direction comes from the inside. Doesn't come from outside. Unless he appears before you as an angel and said, yea, though verily you should go down to the church. Go to the churches down the street. He said, I wonder what God want me to do. No, go to the churches down the street. But on the inside, you hear, you need to stop for a moment. Now I'm mad. I'm mad at my husband. I'm tearing everything up. You know, if you're married to a sister, you know, I don't know how the other side, you know. Sisters, I'm tearing something up. But emotion is out of whack. And then on the inside, God's saying, be still. Right? But then you're like, but that didn't come from the outside. So if I went over to say, shut up. See, now I'm calling the pastor because I need protection. But on the inside, though, God may be saying, shh, be still. And at that moment, you have to choose. I'm going to continue to be loud. I'm going to continue to be irate and move myself to a point of doing something that's going to further complicate my life. Or even though I'm mad, and I could be justified mad, the inside said, be still. Right? Because it's a still, small voice. And then in the stillness, he begins to speak to your situation. You're not mad at him for that. Remember what happened? Back when you were young, you had this. Your dad said that to you. That's why you're angry. I need you to forgive him and release that. Lest the root of bitterness grow up within you. That's the scripture, but right, but God said, look, let that go. I can't move you forward beyond this point until we let this go. Why should I let this go? Well, because I don't care that they didn't care about you. You're the apple of my eye. I knew you when I formed you in the womb. See, he needs to speak that to you so that can deal with this mental image that you see of yourself that I will never be good. Look at my physical body. Guys, I don't care about that. You're more than what you've become. But he can only do that in the quiet places. Let me skip ahead to another point when Jesus is teaching him and he says, hey, the Pharisees, when they pray, they do it out in public and out loud. And God says, when you pray, go to the secret place. Just the inner sanctum. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. Now I get in the closet and go pray or whatever. I'm going to suggest to you that he's talking about, no, get to the place where you're still, where we can be intimate. You really want to deal with your spouse? When Nisha really wants to deal with me, that's give me she has my undivided attention. Me and hate that. We don't want to talk and deal with stuff. No, sit down, let's talk. Because I'm going to give you some inward direction. Let me explain it again. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. She gets religious on her. Where should we worship? God says, hey, he said, look, all right, look. You do this, that's okay. But God is looking for people that's going to worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm going to deal with the first side of that. God wants people to worship him, to adore him, to commune with him, spirit first. Spirit. What is that? That's on the inside. God said, hey, these people are saying stuff with their lips, but their heart, their inner being is far from me. You're going to live with God? You're going to commune with God? It only happens from the inner man. When you sing, I exalt thee, you sound like Tina Turner, you just belt that out. That's outside, that's coming out, right? I got some vocal cords, I can get it. It's not what he's looking for. He don't care if you're like, I exalt thee. I heard some of y'all, I'm up here, but I can hear you. You're like, I exalt thee. God looks into the inner man, and from the inner man, he said, man, I am so privileged that you chose to love me. I didn't do anything to deserve what you have given me now. And I thank you for the grace that you give me, even though I know I don't deserve it. Yeah, I exalt you. That's inside out. God says, no, I'm looking for a people that will honor me from that. The essence of your, that's worship in spirit and in truth. Now, when you worship in spirit and in truth, what you've done is you've now put yourself in the inner room where it's just you and you don't really get to know people until you get to a place of intimacy. You know, you don't go out in the parties where people are, you know, out in the world and getting there, like, yeah. I hear you. You know what? I just killed somebody the other day. Right? But you might be sitting down with them and they let something slip. Because they get comfortable. We're talking to some things that we can relate. And I'll say, you know what? I'm comfortable enough. I think I'll share. And so God's, all right, what I need to do is I need to get you to a place, not where you're comfortable to share, but you're comfortable enough to open up. And let me speak to your heart. That happens in the inner place. And when it happens in the inner place, now you're ready to receive direction from the inside out. Because at your current state, when you first got saved, he was speaking to you then. That's why you got saved. How can they hear unless, right, he sent someone. He sent his word and said, but at that point, he's speaking. And as you go through the course of your life, the outside things get louder. Okay. Jesus said, when the word goes forward, birds of the air come, right? What does that look like, people? Those are the situations in your life that get loud to distract you from the truth that's working on the inside. If you're listening to this, you don't focus on that. You almost can't hear that. And if you can't hear that, now he can lead you. Go left. Go right. Wait a minute. Sit down. Wait. Don't move. Not yet. That person right there. Get close to that person right there. No. That's not the person you're supposed to marry. Stop that. There is something in that person that you need to add to your character. Get to know that person. Don't. I know that person seems, but don't get too close to that. That's inside. Now you're becoming the new creation. That happens inside out. Your new creation. Life is now, used to be outside in, but now you're practicing learning to walk inside out. And when you're walking inside out, you're worshiping spirit and truth. I'm going to skip the second part, the second point, go to the third. Now you're ready to embrace the new you. All right? Now you're ready to embrace. I'm new. I'm focusing inside out. Now I'm ready to embrace the things that actually make me new. I just dealt with that. Let me give you another verse that you can see what I'm dealing with, what we're dealing with in society. The Bible says, hey, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to those that are lost, perishing. Because the God of this world, the influential systems, Jesus said the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, blinds the minds of unbelievers. He didn't say blind the brain. And we already talked about that. Where does the mind reside? It's in the inner man. Where's your direction coming from? It's in the inner man. But you got blocks all inside of you. God says, shut that out. How do you shut that out? You got to go into the inner place. Let me give you a verse. I don't want to leave you there because you're like, man, I just got darkness all inside me. See, that's why you see a black man up here right now. Psalms 119:30. Watch this. Psalms 119:30. Pastor's already jumped past me. Psalms 119:130. Did I say 130? All right. 119:130. Darkness blinds the minds of unbelievers. Watch this. God set this up. I think it's 130. The unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Now, I think that's important, because if on the inside you have some darkness, again, as you begin to meditate God's word, it says the unfolding of it. Again, the stuff that God does is it just locks it up. Again, one of the principles that pastor is, now don't just memorize the word, because memorize, that's the brain. Brain puts that in the files away. I got that. I know where that is. No. He says meditate the scriptures. Get to know it. Why? Because it's in the breaking open. Breaking open. Remember, trying to see who I was hearing. Remember the message he taught about how the word of God is actually like a capsule that has stuff locked in it? You know? You get an Advil or something, the medicine is not in the skin, it's in the inside. You take some water, and then once it dissolves, it releases what it has within it, and it begins to heal you. The word is a capsule that must be broken open to give you what you need. It's the unfolding of the word that gives you light. Now, so I'm going to go back a little bit for some of us that are, I'm not even going to say more experienced, but, you know, some of us that have been here, well, anyway. Remember the cartoons with, you know, each day they have a guy running around, and when he got an idea, you saw a little light bulb pop up, like, bing, right? Just the light, the unfolding of your word gives light. It gives illumination. The best counselor you will ever have is the word of God. He created you. He designed you. He knows what you're supposed to be. Now, see, what happens is when you get to the secret place, the place where you and him can be intimate, not only do you get the word, okay, thou shalt not steal, that's just letters. It says, no, it's the spirit of the word that brings life. What he does is he starts illuminating the different places in your life and rearranging and correcting and directing. It's the unfolding of his word brings illumination. It brings counsel, right? It gives direction from the inside out. Number one thing where you're fought early on, but all the time in your Christian development, is in the study of God's word. I don't come here on Wednesday. That's just one more day. I don't want to do that. But that's the place where God has chosen to place you so that you can get some key instruction so that the word can be unfolded. Not the word brings light. It's the unfolding. Now, why does it have to be unfolded? Because when you first receive it, or sometimes you receive it, if it's an area that is a stronghold, you'll fight it. God's word comes in and says, you know what? He continually leads you in success. All things are possible for you. Everything that you put your hands on. And you think, man, I can't accept that. I know. Look at me now. I'm still wearing hand-me-downs that Uncle Jaya gave, you know. You start, but you're fighting it. Jesus said, in order to, hey, don't suffer. Let the children come. If you can't receive like a child, you can't get into it. Why? Because children just accept things face value. Look, go to bed. Santa Claus is coming. Okay. He's coming. I accept it. I lived in a project. We didn't have a chimney. Santa's coming. Gotta go to bed. I don't know why this white man coming to the black neighborhood, but he coming. My mama told me. I got a little older. Wait a minute, man. The police don't even like to come where we at, Mom. Come on. No. When you first receive, that's the thing that God deal with. You start fighting it on the inside. You know what you call that? Self-sabotage. You get out of debt. People do this all the time. You get out of debt, you feel a freedom. And next thing you know, you want to go get something in the credit card. Because you're not used to the freedom of not having debt. I'm comfortable with that. Right? Same thing, bad relationships. I keep getting bad relationships, keep getting bad relationships. You can come in and meet somebody that's great for you, but you're uncomfortable because what's happening here doesn't match what I see on the inside. And so then I'll start fighting and resisting that, even though it's good for me. Right? So God said, okay, look, let's deal with that. And then you get those aha moments. Oh my God, so wait a minute, Pastor, you said this, and I've been saying this for 3 years. And he doesn't do that. He said, bless you, God's good. Right? Same word. Has to be faithful to preach it. Why? Because at the moment that you get the unfolding, you're going to be released into your success. But the issue is not him being faithful to teach it, because he's shown that. I mean, I can say that naturally, right? He's still here, not going anywhere. He wants to go to Florida for a little bit, but that's a vacation. He's coming back. The issue is, are you faithful to continue to come here? Right, because the enemy knows if I can beat you down long enough, you'll quit. I can't stop the blessings of God from coming into your life, but I can make you quit. And then the outside things get louder. Outside things get louder. All right, let me show you that. I'm gonna skip to the next part. First Peter. I mean, where is that? First Peter. 1 Peter 5:8. Let me get to it. You're new, embrace the new you. 1 Peter 5. I'm gonna go 10, just to prove that point. Watch this powerful word of God, full of life, full of blessing. Verse 10, after you have suffered. What? After you have suffered. What? For a little while. Now, okay, now I got issues. How come we got to suffer for a little while? I need the immediate. After you have suffered, and it's not dependent on him, but he knows you. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, and strengthen. Well, why is it after? Because you got those mental images. I'd love to just speak to you. I'd love to just tell you stuff. Grandma used to say to me, John, look here. He says, you ain't got no common sense, which led me to believe there must not be common sense, because I would certainly have it if there was some. Said, look, boy, you can learn by me telling you stuff, or you're going to learn through experiencing stuff. Now, the best way is to learn from me telling you, because I've already experienced some things. But you can be hard-headed and learn stuff. See, this is what this is dealing with. I'm placing before you blessings and cursing. Choose life. Well, we get hard-headed. We know better. That's what I'm saying, embrace the new self. We start doing things to make the old self, which is dead and dying, more comfortable. All right, well, I know I'm changing. I know I'm becoming new, but let me just make this funeral easy for the old man. Let me surround myself with people that remind me of how it feels when I used to smoke up. Because we don't want that death to die hard, you know. Nah, man. Run toward your new self. That's where your success is. The stuff that put that burden on you, that's weighing you down, throw that off and run toward God. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's not giving you the suffering, but he's not lying to you. The longer you stay in that, the more you're going to suffer. So, well, let me just give you some encouragement. After a little while, it'll get better. Because I'm not going to let you fail. The God that started a work within you is faithful. He will bring it to completion. That ain't got to do with me. That's got to do with him. He said, all you got to do is not quit. But this is the third time I've gone and cheated with that man. This is the sixth time I've led my family into bankruptcy. He says, don't stop moving forward. I'm faithful. I know you're not faithful, but I'm faithful. Run to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, because I After you suffered a little while, after you suffered a little while, I'm still there. That's what that is. I'm still here. I'm still here. Praise God and run to God. Run to God and embrace your new self. I can give you some practical stuff. That's these churches. That's why I still come. Because when I'm there with everybody else, he says, I'm there in the midst of you. Okay, well, at least I'm in the place. I'm in the place. I'm in the place. I'm mad and Isha just cussed me out, but I'm in the... She don't cuss. You know, she's a good woman. That was part of my construct. God said, well, I know that boy. I got to give him a good woman. Help him along. But I'm in the place. I'm in the place. I'm going to receive some truth. Right here. Why? Because God says he's there. Right? In the fellowship of one another, God has a commanded blessing. Like, I just got to get to the place. I don't care what I got to do. Just got to get to that place. Good sound counsel. Let me call Pastor. Why? Because he's going to have wisdom. How's it going? I'm blessed and overcoming. Are you going to hear that word from him? How's it going, loved one? Or just something in there. I got to get that out. Meditate on it. Think on that. I said the other day, God will keep them at peace whose mind is stayed on him. Can I give you a picture of that? Now, I'm going to use my lovely wife who will be gracious to me. I'm going to speak that. I believe that. I'm going to hold it. God make it true. All right. Man, because we only understand this in like natural concepts, right? So we're getting together. God has led me. This is the one. This is a good woman. I saw her. I'm pursuing her. Told her I'm coming around to convince you to marry me. So you knew what was going on. She could have rejected me then. She didn't. Now it's too late. All right. So we're doing our thing, and then I'm at that point in time I'm working at a summer camp, and it's time for me to go away. And I don't even know how it happened, but you know, I'd like to get a card. I'm gonna be away from you for a while. Now I'd like to get a card or something. And we have what we call Uncle Week, which is where the leaders go and get camp ready for the counselors to come and help us. And you know, get that. So I'm going up there early. So I get up there, and some of my friends, co-laborers in the Lord, they're already there, right? So I drive up and get out. It's a long drive. I'm going to Missouri. You know, just out in the wilderness. Our camp is like 30 miles from a KKK meeting place. I mean, I'm going out there. I drive up, tired, get there. It's about 14 hours. And I come up to the place where no AC, so I'm tired and come out. And these guys are there, and they come downstairs, and they smile. John, what's up? Hey, man, it's good to see you. Hey, good to see you. I mean, nobody's there, just us. Us and the animals. Rabbit's still running around. And I said, man, you glad to be here? I said, yeah, you know, go minister to the kids. I like, you know, it's a good time. So I said, all right, you know, let's go do our thing. Then we go up to we stayed in the attic of this building. You know, people put the building together, whatever. So we were in the attic part, and we're about to go to bed. I said, oh, we got something for you. You got some mail. Now, nobody's at camp. And when they said you got mail, that meant the mailman got on his boat. I mean, it's far, right? You got mail, you really got it. Because he ain't just coming out there. And said, you got some mail? We ain't got some mail. Because I'm forgetting, you know, our conversation. You got some mail, John. I said, what? I got some mail. Say, yeah. I said, don't nobody know here. I said, my mom, she ain't writing. You know, she going to see me when I come back. And I get there, and this is big old card, right? Big envelope, John Hendrick. I was like, what? Got there, baby had sent me a card. We weren't even married yet. A little love card. And I was so happy. I shared it with everybody. it was just a few people, you know. And they were like, it was like Jesus. When he like calmed the water, and they was like, what manner of man is this? They're like, what woman have you got, bro? That she will send you a card. I mean, the card was legendary. She got the name Hot Lips. They run the car. You know, don't call. I can call her that. You don't call her. But I got that, and all I could, I would think about that card, just make me smile. You know, I'm painting buildings and I'm smiling, back just burning up, you know. But I'm thinking about, oh, that's such a nice card. That's the intimacy that God wants you to experience with him. When he talks about meditating on the word day and night, so that he wants you to have unfolded to you the treasure that's within the word, so that you're at the point like, oh my, I can't stop thinking about that. Every time I think about it, it just gets me excited. Because then now you're being intimate. And in that intimacy, you're ready to open up. You're ready to open up. Let me just go. I'm trying to see. All right, now this is because you've heard the disciple me. I want to point this out. When you're being physically intimate with your loved one, your wife is not ready to receive you, and you just burst up into the place. You've been abusive to her, or not abusive, but you may have ignored her. Can't go in and go, all right, baby, let's go do it. But God has built in where women, you know, you have to, you know, baby, I just watched Pastor Jim. Hey, baby, Pastor, Sister Lou. Hey, baby, I watch that, take notes inwardly. That's pretty good, he said. Does little things, baby Lou, you know. She knows he loves her. You can tell by how you look at her. Things that she can remember over and over, and so that when it's time to be intimate, God has designed a woman to where she's ready to receive. I mean, just little things. Like the things that you need from God, you got to go get intimate. Can't be out there in the world, get the body. Then break a plate. Now, I need Jesus. It broke it. Well, I mean, he's there, but you're not in a place to receive him because you can't hear inwardly. You don't even recognize him speaking to you. See, that's the problem. And we said, well, if I can just make this a little louder, won't even hear that voice speaking to you that says, be still and know that I am God. So embrace that. Run toward that. Hold on and don't let go. That's the other part. Once you got that, the Bible says, 1 Peter 5, again, that's where I was going, 5:8, the devil roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. It says, resist him. See, he wouldn't put that in there if you didn't have to do that. Having done all to stand, stand. Having girded your... Don't let go of what? Of the images that God has placed in you. When trouble hits your life, and it's trouble, I'm not trying to be, that is trouble. But when it hits your life, you cannot let go of the things that God placed within you. That's what he's trying to get. That's what he's clawing at you. He's clawing, let that go. God said, I'm beautiful. I'm self-sufficient. God has great things, and he's just clawing at you. God said, resist him. He can't do that for you. See, that's why it's after a little while. Till you learn, you know, you'd be like Pastor Jim, trouble comes. Hey, I'm blessed of the Lord. He's like, I don't care if none of y'all give nothing. God will give it to it, you know. Why? Because of the image within him. I'll always provide for you. You're blessed, shaking down, running up. Why? That's in him. Not letting that go. Don't let it go. Hold on to it. It'll keep you in the night hours. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not gonna be afraid. Because I'm strong? No. Because I trust in him and he's never left me. Never foreseen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. He's coming. I just gotta hold on. Praise God. Run toward God. Hold on. Last part first, then we're done. This is the second point I had. I want to leave it to the end. All right. This point is this. You got to let go of the old you. Got to let that go. Got to let it go. Cannot marry the things of God and the things of the world that you learned in the old life. Got to let it go. Won't work together. Won't work together. Write this down. You can meditate on it. Philippians 2:5 says, allow the mind of Christ. The same attitude that was in Christ. You got to allow that. Thing that stops that is holding on to the old you.
Let me give you an example. Get out of here.
Anybody read Red Word from Groves? Whatever.
Tongues.
The interpretation is, did anybody read Where the Red Fern Grows? All right. It's a book about a kid, grew up country somewhere. He's going to learn how to hunt raccoons. Gets two hound dogs. Two hound dogs. He's teaching them how to hunt. So he's like, how do I teach them how to hunt? You know, it's not. So dad said, look, I'm going to show you how to do this. I'm going to show you how to do it once. You got to let it go. So I want you to get a can. And I want you to put some nails in that can and have them point downward. And then I want you to put something shiny in that can. I want you to put it in the ground. So here's what's going to happen. The raccoon's going to come. And I do not know if this is actual or not. I just remember the story. The raccoon's going to come. He's going to look in. He's going to see that shiny thing in that can. He's going to you read the book? You remember this? Oh, praise God. Likeness. You know, he's going to put his hand in that can and grab that shiny thing because he wants it. Now, when he grabs that shiny thing, his hand can fit in, but once he grabs that, his arm will expel, and when he goes to pull it out, it's going to hit those jagged nails. And so he won't be able to get out. He'll try to pull out, and it'll hit him, and he'll stay in there. Now, he says, now all he has to do to get out of this trap is to let that shiny thing go, but he won't do it. He'll hold on to it, and it'll keep him locked in that position until you come and kill him. Now, don't do that after that, because that's cheating. You need to hunt with the dogs. But, you know, but I was like, God's like, that's the world. The things in your life, I said, they might not even be good for you, but you're comfortable with that. And you grab hold of that, and God's trying to change it, and you won't let go. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus, but I've never amounted to anything. Let that go. Don't nobody love me. I'm going to be single for the rest of my life. God's like, I love you. You're the apple of my eye, but let that go. Now, if you're going to embrace God, got to let that go. It'll hold you back. I'm not saying you're not saved. You're not experiencing the fullness of what God has. You're going to run toward God, let it go. But so-and-so did, let it go so that you can evolve, so that you can grow. By yes. Father, we desire all that you would have for us. We don't want to stay the same. We want to grow so that you can shine through us and impact the world around us. In the areas where we are weak, Lord, strengthen us. Strengthen us in the inner man with your word, that we may become all that you have called us to be. We belong to you. We are yours. We embrace that. And Father, open up our eyes, dispel the darkness, that we may see us the way you see us and become what you have called us to be. Amen. I'm turning it over to Brian. Are you blessed? Right now, Brian's coming to lead us in communion. Take the word of God with you and grow and prosper.